Father, it's an honor to open your scripture this morning, and we know, Father, that you want us to falling deeper into deeper water, Father. Ons weet, Here, dat U vir ons vanoggend wil dieper delf, and you do it by your word, Father, and we are privileged to have your word open in front of us and have it in our hearts. And we pray, Father, that you speak through your word and that you only speak, and that we open our eyes and our ears spiritually this morning. We thank you, God. Amen. Ja, vanoggend praat ons wat gebeur as ons nie luister nie. Dit gebeur baie dat ons nie luister nie. Maar kom ons kyk net wat spruit daaruit. En ons gaan vanoggend 'n redelike 'n stukkie lees. Oom Arno het ook vir ons uit 1 Samuel uitgelees en ek gaan hom volg. So as julle net by my kan bly, is 'n redelike, it's quite a piece that we're going to read, but I want you to listen carefully. We're going to break it down as we go on. So 1 Samuel 15, and we read there from verse 1. Now Samuel said to Saul, and Saul is koning op daai stadium, and Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent you to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. En dan sien ons hoe Saul sy manskappe by mekaar trek. And then in verse 7, then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with a sword. But, in verse 9, Saul and the army spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Now, God showed himself to Samuel, and he said, hy het gesê, spyt dat hy vir Saul koning gemaak het, want Saul doen nie wat hy sê nie. He's not obeying my commands. And then where are we now? In verse 12. Are we in verse 12? Okay. So Samuel went to Saul. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. Now where's Saul? There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? Saul spared the fat sheep. What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? So Saul answered, The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Then Samuel said, Enough. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And Saul said, Tell me. Samuel said, Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord, Saul? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? In verse 20, But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice." Let's read that again. "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination," that's witchcraft, "and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive me. Forgive me for the sin, and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord." So hierso sien ons waar, kyk, dis nie die eerste keer wat Samuel, it's not the first time that Samuel went to Saul to rebuke him because he didn't obey the Lord. Two chapters before chapter 15, Samuel again rebuked Saul because he disobeyed the Lord. So again we see that Saul disobeying the Lord, not listening to what the Lord is telling him, and not effectively carrying out what the Lord says. So today we're going to look at what are the fruits when we don't listen. What are the fruits in our lives when we are disobeying God's commands? Now let's just differentiate between roots and fruits. Everybody say roots. Everybody say fruits. Wortels en vrugte. Now, if God is the root of my life, then my fruits will be vrugte van die gees, liefde, vreugde, vrede, geduld, vriendelikheid, and so on. All right? The fruit is what comes up from underneath, from the roots. If my roots are rebellion or rejection, then I can't have love as a fruit. As ek heeltyd verwerp voel, okay, as verwerping hier binnen my sit, dan gaan dit onmoontlik vir my wees om lief te wees en om Gods liefde te ontvang. Okay? So we have to differentiate between roots and fruits. Now let's first look at the fruits of what we see here from Saul by being disobedient. Let's go to verse 13. The first thing I want to talk about is boasting, roem. Hierdie gaan 'n moeilike een wees vir party van ons. So kom ons wees mooi eerlik vir oggend. In vers 13, I have carried out the Lord's instructions. You see, Samuel came to Saul and immediately before Samuel can say anything, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." And then in verse 12, ons het gelees, there he has set up a monument in his own honor. God said in verse 2, I will punish the Amalekites. God het gesê, ek sal hulle destroy. Okay? Daarom sal gaan. So he's saying, I will destroy them, now go. So God het die vermoë en die mag om die Amalekites te destroy. Okay? Maar dan sien ons, Saul, hy vat die eer, I destroyed. And he put up a monument of himself. Ek was op 'n tyd, of so, so in my vyfde jaar op Stellenbosch, toe het ek en twee meisies 'n projek begin in Klapmuts. Het was een nasorg waar op die einde was daar 200 kinderkies wat na die tyd gekom het en in die middag het ons vir hulle vaardighede aangeleer en al sulke goeders nie. The project really grew to a point where we got buses from the university and every day there will be 30 volunteers, students going with us and it's just chaos on that rugby fields in Klapmuts. And the project really grew and God's, I didn't know the Lord at the time, but the two ladies who was with me in the project, I knew they prayed for me until the roofies and so on. So praise God, their prayers were answered. Maar ja, so God's hand was regtig waar op die project. But because I was the only male that went there on a continuous basis, I became very popular, and the people loved me. And when we drove into Klapmuts, people will shout, "Hier kom Jan! Hier kom Jan!" And you know, sometimes there were these students. And there would be new volunteers. And as we just turn off there from the main road into Klapmuts, I would say, "Well, it's very hot in here. We need to, you know," so that they can hear, you know, "This is me coming into town." You know, some of the kids didn't even know who I am. I think the bus's name was Jan, because they didn't know who was driving the bus. They're just running after the thing. "Hier kom Jan, hier kom Jan." And at a stage, the what is raadslid in Engels? The councillor, municipality councillor. He came to me. It was Mr. Anthony, a wonderful guy. And you would see his face all over all the lampposts and everything. But one day he came to me and he said, "Please, you must never stand for councillor in this town because you're going to get it above me." So it was a time when I was very popular, but you know, that was really a bad place to be. There were no good fruits in my life at that stage, and I had to be removed from the project. Although I started it and implemented everything, I was removed from that project because I was boasting. Because things were not about God, according to me. Things were according to me, for me. Okay, so things started to pop up in the project, and I had to be removed. So this is a very dangerous place when God gave you the talents to begin something or to do. It's His command, and it's His plan. We can't boast that it's us. I want to take you to Matthew 6, verse 1. "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Dis amper asof die norm geskuif het. Dit gaan regtig die lewe, as jy bietjie mooi kyk, as jy bietjie dieper kyk in wat die wêreld vandag bied, dan is dit asof die norm nie meer die norm is nie. Wat ek daarmee bedoel is, kom ons sê daar's 'n posstuk by jou huis afgelewer, maar dis die verkeerde adres. Nou skeer ons maar die ding op en gooi dit in die drom, of as jy nog goed is, dan gaan jy na die poskantoor toe en jy sê, "Luister hierso, hierdie ding is by die verkeerde adres gesit." En maak seker dit gebeur nie weer nie, jy weet, want jy mors nou my tyd. Is dit nie so dat dit, isn't it the norm to go to the post office and give the post briefie terug nie? I was bad languages, gaan nou kose van pa. Jy weet, is asof ons nou deesdae vergoed moet word vir iets wat eintlik normaal moet gebeur. Dis asof Ek stap nou die dag, stap ek in die mall. Dit was baie snaaks. Ek stap uit die mall uit. En ek hoor iets klingeling hier agter en R5 het uit my sak uitgeval. En dis ek is 2 meter, die goed registreer nog hier in my kop. En soos wat ek terugdraai, sien ek, dis die R5 wat uit my sak uitgeval het. Maar toe ek nader stap, toe sien jy ookie wat die R5 so kom opsweep. Took the R5. En ek is soos, wat nou? En hy wil het so vir my gee, en toe sê ek, jy weet dankie, en toe ek het so wil vat, toe gryp het terug. Toe sê hy, maar wat gee jy nou vir my gee? Toe sê ek soos, dit is my R5, maar moet ek nou vir jou R5 gee? Ek vraag hom, moet ek vir jou R5 gee, omdat jy my R5 vir my gee? Ja. Ek sê, is dit my R5? Ja. Wil jy my R5 vir my gee? Ja. Ek sê, gee hom. Ek sê, nee. Nou is dit soos, jy weet, waar is ons, dat ons nou iets wat jy moet doen, ek moet nou vergoed word vir dit. Okay. Anyway, ons norms het geskuif en ons het baie, baie belangrik geword. It's all about me. It's all about me. Kom ons vraag vir onszelf, wat is die prestaties waarop jy roem vandag? If you did something right, if you did something good, it was expected of you, but you did something right and you did something good, are you boasting for that? Oh, I'm so good in my job. I'm really good. If DSTV dish came out when? In the 90s in South Africa. Only started in the new millennium to be popular in Namibia. Namibia is always a bit after South Africa. And I think it was only a year ago that my parents started to EFT, you know, internet banking, because the computers that they live in Otjiwarongo in Namibia. So they only started doing electronic and internet stuff about a year ago. And my uncle, who's here in South Africa, he went to Otjiwarongo to Namibia to help my parents install all these computers and stuff, because I don't think they even know where to put it on. But my mom told me that she was looking at Sydney. He couldn't see her. But at a certain stage, he got something right. And he was leaning back. He didn't know anyone was seeing him. He was leaning back and saying, yes, oh my God, I'm good. He's really, really boasting. Now, that was a joke. But I want to ask us, on a very serious note, if we do something that God expected of us, are we boasting in that? And the second question that needs to be asked, if we also look at Saul's example, did you execute the command in the right way? Or did you execute the command so that you can be lifted up? Was it for the kingdom? Was it for yourself? You know, that verse, Romans 8 verse 28, don't think we have it there. All things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We miss that part. Ons vergeet van die deel dat ekke het gawes en talente ontvang om Godse koninkryk uit te bou. Dit verander. Die norm is nie meer die norm nie. We're talking about boasting, ons praat van roem. We're talking about the fruit of when we don't listen. Today we need to answer ourselves and to God, am I listening? Because look at my fruits. Die tweede punt waarna ons gaan kyk, wat Saul gedoen het, en hierdie is 'n vrug van sy ongehoorsaamheid, is hy skuil agter God en agter sy goeie dade. Verse 13, when Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. Now we know that Samuel have rebuked, the only two times that Samuel saw Saul, is either to give him a command or either to rebuke him, because Saul did his own thing the whole time. And what Saul does here is he's using God to hide behind his disobedience. Samuel only came to him, they haven't spoken anything, and then Saul said, "The Lord bless you." He's using the name of the Lord, not in a way that he should. God se naam het 'n woord geword om ons gevoelens uit te druk. Unfortunately, I sometimes put on the television and I see this extreme makeover documentaries of people who come in and then they renovate the whole house. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because it's usually a family that's struggling. So praise God for that. But from the word go, from when they go into that house, the way they're trying to describe what they're feeling is, oh my God, the whole time. God isn't someone who you can use to express your feelings or to hide behind something. God isn't a word, it's holy. It's holy. Net om 'n voorbeeld te noem, laat my hare rys. Okay? So Saul, what Saul's doing here is he's hiding behind God's name. Let's make it personal. Let's draw it a bit closer to us. Sometimes we want to do something. I really want to do that. It's first my idea, then I go listen to the Lord, and then I get my justification. No, God said that. Nee, God het gesê. Ek het van God gehoor. Hy het gesê ek moet dit doen. Nou dan doen ek dit maar. You're using God's name in a way that you should not. Okay? Jy gebruik God se naam uitelik. As jy sê dis van die Here af en dit is eintlik van jou af. Pas op. Ek praat myself vanoggend hierso. Ek hoor baie goed van die Here af. Ja, ja Here, U het dit gesê. Oeh, en dan kry ek al die roem. Pas op vir daai ene. Let's move on. Vers 15. So Saul is hiding behind God, behind God's name, and he's hiding behind his deeds. Verse 15, they spared, this is Saul saying to Samuel, what he did, sparing all the sheep and cattle, it's a good thing. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord. To the Lord your God. Now, it's not Samuel's God. But totally destroyed the rest. I totally destroyed the rest, and I saved these wonderful cattle and sheep to offer to you. Look at me, all my good deeds. That's going to save me. Your goeie dade gaan jou nie red nie. There was this one guy in a church that I attended, and it was shocking. Everybody liked him. Maybe I was jealous at that time, I don't know. But he used to do solo worship songs in church. But it wouldn't be the church asking him, it would he going to ask the church if he could play a song. And it would be a worship song. Hy het nog hierdie stem gehad, hy het so gedruk, uitgedruk as hy sing, jy weet, en hy kom van hier onder af. Any case, and after the song, he'll stand there, he always had this cowboy hat. Now, Angus Buchan is wearing a cowboy hat, but he comes from the farm, from the KwaZulu-Natal, he's been born and bred there, or comes from Scotland and everything, but he's wearing it because it's his character. Who he is. I'm not criticizing Angus this morning. But that guy, he comes from like Belleville or Brackenfell. You know, they don't wear caps. This is a blowbiller with cap. So after his song, there would be a silence, the awkward silence, and then he'll wait, and then there would be a person starting to slow clap. And then after a while, the whole church is clapping. And after the church clapped, he said, "Oh, thank you very much." You know, like, I wasn't there, he goes. it's not about you. Your good deeds, your worshiping in front of the church is not going to save you. You are serving. That's the norm. You're not doing something good. Our good deeds are not going to save us. Let's read Titus 3 verse 5. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. Let's go on. Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. A lot of the times we come to church and we work hard in church. We think we work hard in church. We call it work. I'm guilty. And then we say, ek het nou eers genoeg gedoen. Ek dink my maatjie langs my moet bietjie bykom. What you are saying is, I've done enough. My deeds have been enough now. I can move on. Your deeds did not save you. Deception, misleading. The third one we're going to do this morning. We're talking about fruits of disobedience. Verse 20. Now look at this. This is classic. Saul saying, already Samuel explained to Saul what he did and so on, and why he was wrong. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? He's saying in one sentence two totally opposite things. I completely destroyed the Amalekites, but I brought back Agag, the king. Are you stupid? Are you not seeing it? Hey, lieg vir jouself. Deception, misleiding, is as if yourself yok. Guys, this is a dangerous place to be, because you're not even realizing. You know, if you are realizing something this morning that, hey, I need to work in that part of my life, you're at a good place, because you still have a conscience. Jy kan nog steeds hoor dat, hey, ek is verkeerd en ek moet het verander. And for God's sake, please change that. But if you're at the place where you're lying to yourself and you're not even realizing it, man, that's a bad place to be. Really. Proverbs 12 verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Daar was a professor gewees. Hy het my klas gegee, ek dink hy het nogal vir my gehou, maar hy het altyd op my gepik in die klas, hy het vir my baie goeie punt gegee, en ek het altyd vir hom dokter genoem, want hy het hierdie boeken geskryf, en hy was altyd dokter, maar hy is latere professor geworden. Jy moet eers 'n dokter wees, en dan word jy latere professor, as jy nou sekere kriteria voldoen. Nou, ek het een keer in sy kantoor, van my gaso, nou, hy het sy geboorkies buiten die kantoor, waar nou staan professor, en ek staan en praat om met hom, en ek dokter die hele tyd, en hy het so gesaan en sê, meneer Boerenstein, hoe weet jy, ek is hier dominee nie? En ek kyk so, ek sê, sorry prof, en ek hond hom weg, jy weet. So die was baie, man, anyway, dit het nou niks met die saak uit te waai nie, ek wil eindelijk vir julle vertel. Nou sit ons in die klas, nou hierdie prof, nou my naam is nou Boerenstein B., so dit is redelijk bo in die klaslys, en dan sê hy altyd so gehop as hy praat, jy weet. En dan staan hy so, en dan sê hy, ons moet altyd voorbereidingswerk gedoen het. Staan hy so, en sê, meneer Boerenstein, kan jy vir ons asseblief miskien hierdie en hierdie verduidelik? En dan is daar hierdie awkward silence, en dan kyk hy vir my in my oor, en sê hy, meneer Boerenstein is hier in die klas vandag. So is obviously, kyk vir my. En dan sê ek sê, ja prof, maar ek het nou nie voorbereid nie, en hy volgende week, nou het ek weer so gevoel, maar hy gaan vir my weer vraag. En ek het regtig goed voorberei. Ek het alles voorberei. Behalwe die laaste paragraaf, ek het nie tyd gehad daarvoor nie. So wie sal ons vandag vra? Meneer Boerenstein, kan jy asseblief vir ons dit en dit en dit verduidelik? Yes. Kyk, prof, kan jy nie die sinnetjie voor dit vra nie? Ek kan baie goed vir jou verduidelik. En dan sal hy so oor die klas kyk en sê hy, ja, studente, julle moet weet dat julle indrukspunte in die klas stel baie 30% van julle eindpunt en so aan. Maar so het hy aangegaan. Maar ek het vir myself gelieg. Ek het vir myself gelieg om te sê, nee, maar ek weet hierdie antwoord. Ja, prof, ek het voorberei. Ek het twee wensle nie voorberei nie. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. The last fruit of Saul's disobedience, we're going to look at blame shifting. Going to verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave into them. En jylle weet hierdie, you know these suspense movies? You know these suspense movies, they always get, you always only know at the end of the movie what really happened, okay? So hy word uitgefigure hier in die einde. Now, this is verse 24, it's quite a long way into this word of God. And Saul said in verse 13, I have carried out the Lord's instructions. So Saul believed that he was carrying out the Lord's instructions. And again in verse 20, but I did obey the Lord. So Saul already said, but I did obey the Lord. But here in verse 24, he said, but I was afraid of the men, and so I gave into them. This guy knew he was disobedient. He put up a monument for himself. He already knew he was disobedient to God. But now it's the other people's mistake. Nee, ek was bang vir die manne gewees. I blame shift. If I don't listen to God, if I disobey God, I'll start blame shifting. It's not me. And I'll be lying to myself. When we look at the root of Saul's disobedience is because he didn't listen. In verse 1, when Samuel brought the message to Saul, in verse 1, Samuel said, so listen now to the message from God. He used the word listen. So you got to listen now. It looks subtly as we read verse 1 because for some reason we always think that verse 1 is only an introduction. But Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent you to anoint you king over Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. Saul didn't listen. A lot of parables before Jesus starts to speak, he says, listen. When Peter and John went up the mountain with Jesus and Moses and Elijah, wat hulle voor hulle verskyn het, het God se stem uit die hemel gekom en hy het gesê, dit is my geliefde seun oor wie ek my verheug. Luister na hom. A lot of the times God says, listen. Now this morning, in intercession, Oom Arnu prayed that God said at the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. Even earth listens to God. When God speaks, we must listen, because when God speaks, things need to happen. If you resist to listen, sin will arise and death is the outcome. God het vir Saul verwerp. That was the last time Samuel and Saul saw each other. You can go read further in 1 Samuel 15 where Samuel said, you will be replaced by one of your neighbors. Saul was not king anymore. God rejected Saul. Now, how do we listen? James 1, verse 22-25. Clearly, God says, do not merely listen to the work, to the word, and so deceive yourself. If you only listen, if you only hear with your ears, you are deceived. Why? Do what it says. Listening always follows with a do. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. This morning we need to ask ourselves, at the beginning, in the beginning, when we hear God's voice, when we listen to God's voice, do we follow up by doing it? Because if we're not listening, if we have a rebellious, the opposite of listening, being obedient is rebellion. If rebellion is the root of our lives, it's going to crawl into our lives. Boasting, hiding behind God's name, hiding behind our good deeds, deception, we're going to be deceived, we're going to lie even if we don't know, and we're going to blame shift. That's just some of the fruits that's going to show up in our lives. Vanoggend wil ek regtig waar vir jou challenge. If you've heard, we need to do now. There needs to come good fruits of what we have just heard now. I want to ask you, the fruit in your life, die vrugte in jou lewe, met ander woorde, dit wat jy nou op die oppervlak van jou lewe sien, as jy miskien op sekere plekke roem, as jy miskien op sekere plekke skuil agter God, as jy somtijds agterkom, jy sê, maar nou praat ek iets wat helemaal teenstrijdig is, of jy gee sommer vir iemand anders die skuld, as dit jy is vanoggend, wil ek hê, hierdie is 'n geleentheid, tussen jou en God, waar jy nou kan regmaak. Die ding is, God werk so, in Romeine 8 vers 28 sê dit vir ons, God werk so, it's for the best of us, for his kingdom, but for the best of us. Okay, so by listening and doing, it's for the best.